I wanna take you to McDonald's with a candle. Girl, it's my love you can't handle. I see you walking on your way home from work. Your Tesco tunic really drives me berserk. I'm for real, it ain't no quirk. My love is waiting the way you would lurk in a bush or a car park in town. I bought you this necklace, it cost me £12 from Argos. Elizabeth Duke, baby, you're the Skywalker to my Luke, the Darth to the Vader, flip over the crossfader. I'll serenade you with a bag of Space Raiders or Walkers or Smiths or maybe even Quavers, cause my love for you is like...
Croissant, welcome to Tales for Wales. Oh, your mother's got a penis. It's happening, blah, it's happening, spa. I got this thing on my phone the other day. Basically, you're right. Sorry, maybe we can start that again. It looked like I peaked as well. I got too excited.
I just was not expecting that at all. Of all the intros I was thinking you could come up with,
oh,
I was
spack. Like, what is your mother's what is this? Got a penis, oh, spack. I got this thing the other day on my phone, right? It enables it to ring. We've got to start this episode off with a GLC for show. For
of course.
Yeah, usually we have a good intro where I say, I'm Franks, and... No, how do we know we saw the pod, man? It's been fucking...
You say,
time.
Tales for Wales. This is Tales for Wales, the pod that never fails.
To tell you your mother's got a penis, da-da-da-da-da. Oh, to tell you that guns don't kill people, historians do. I read it on the news on BBC 2, la-la. Sorry. Pre-warning, this episode, next episode, and the next episode, we're going to record all tonight, so that usually gets
back
a bit
to
mad.
Back to back, baby.
I've also had mad insomnia for like the last 6 days, and I've been getting around two and a half to 3 hours sleep a night. I showed you my Garmin sleep thing, didn't I? Earlier.
I did, yeah. I've seen the data, mate. It's
I didn't
it's
go
troubling.
To bed until 4 this morning until 7:30, and that was like the most sleep I've had. And then the other day it was like 10 until 1 in the morning, then up all night. So I've just been absolutely zonked. So yeah, this might be slightly chaotic and slightly
It's gonna be wacko, isn't it? You're gonna be fucking.
And with that in mind,
crazy.
I was doing a little bit of like market research and just listening to other history podcasts because we had some people follow us who also do history podcasts. So I thought I'd check out their stuff, and then I went on a bit of a check in like some of the more professional Welsh history podcasts. And we were such idiots when I was listening to theirs. I was like, oh god, they sound so like they're like hello and welcome to tonight's show where we'll talk about Banna Brycheiniog, and it's usually like one person talking, and it's so like articulate and like well thought
well
out.
Put together. Yeah. And yeah, actually thoughtful. I think that's part of our charm. I've grown to just accept that what our USP is that we're not bloody perfect.
Oh, yeah, right? I didn't laugh once listening to their stuff. And I found it
exactly.
Dry.
We got a bit of humour in ours, you know. Yeah. We're a couple of lovable lads, if I don't say so myself.
I know, nothing makes you more unlovable than saying you're lovable to other people. what you'll know about me, I'm lovable. Really,
what could you say
me.
About me and Franco, except that we're affable lads, which is a bunch of affable lads.
But it did make me think, I was listening to it, I thought, we're so unserious. Like, none of them call anybody like a nonce or a pedo. No one's getting any of that treatment.
They treat history with a real reverence, whereas we just go like, you sound like a nonce, that's a funny name. You know, I remember bloody one of our first episodes on Captain Morgan, and there's a guy named something Guzman. He was like the mayor of Panama or something. And we got Luis Guzman. And we just kept saying it.
Yeah. I really think we should redo the first 10 episodes because they're like, just, I don't know, I just think we should redo them.
I think that that's come and gone. I think if anything, we should do some of the ones like, well, not the lost tapes, but you know, the ones that have not gotten any traction at all because they were kind of like middle of the way through, maybe season one. Like, I'm thinking like Moila Don,
Batman,
and they're really good, like stories and battles, but they kind of ruined a bit.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but my stop out fiance, who's been gone all bloody days, just turned home patting her tummy. And
oh, well, bloody hell.
Do you know what she did the other day when we were talking? We were lying in bed chatting, and she lifted up my shirt and screamed at my tummy. She went, it was so funny. I was crying laughing.
Sounds like a sequence in a horror film that someone wakes up from a nightmare, you know?
Well, we were being giddy and excitable, and then we were just talking. She went, ah! And pulled the shirt back down again.
Couldn't contain it.
Oh, that's a laugh. Sorry, man. I'm going to be a bit all over the shop tonight. So, what was right, the, mate, yeah, so other history podcasts, this is a public service. Like, I imagine if you found us, you probably tried the other ones and thought they're not your vibe as well, because you're probably a silly.
Yeah, I imagine if people who are, you know, are sticking with us, especially like the older Patreons and stuff like that, we must offer something a little bit different, a little bit more. A delicate flavour.
We're not your grandpappy's historians.
We're not your goddamn grandpappy's
history
podcast. We're
not historians. We're drunks for a hobby.
We're barely factual, quote unquote. We just
I won't have that.
We're factual enough. We're factual enough.
That's something like a Tory government would say. We're factual enough.
Who wants to listen to experts anymore, mate? That's what I
yeah,
say.
Yeah, the old Michael Gove.
Yeah, Michael Gove excuse.
Isn't that mad that during like a massive pandemic where we needed to know the expert advice, I think we've had enough from you lot.
I don't know why we're giving him like a proper yeah, working class. I think the audience are actually sick of death of experts as
I
well.
I think
actually.
They want to hear from 50 lads I went to eat them with, actually. I think we know a thing or two about viruses. That's an intense. You shouldn't even get that accent. That's for good people, that accent is. Go exactly. Just an absolute blah 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 blubber lips. He's got the absolute rubberous. Yes, he's got rubber lips. It's absolute rubber face.
I think it was Frankie Boyle who said that Gove looked simultaneously like a child and a paedophile. And I thought that's so fucking on the mark.
That's class. Yeah. He looks like a... Oh, no, that's the Billy Connolly voice. It's a little auto. what's you? I haven't spoken to you in a while, anyway.
I know it feels like we haven't spoken in ages. I mean, we did see each other on Tuesday, but I know what you mean. I understand what you're on about.
So 2 days ago. But we didn't really have... We were in the cinema, so you can't, like, chat much, can you?
No, we had a cheeky debrief pint, didn't we? Yeah. But that was it. It was only a one-er as well.
It was so tasty. I mean, you were so sensible. We were like... Because our other mate was like, he could have strong-armed us in for one more pint, but...
Oh,
like
yeah. If he'd have laid it on thick, I think I would have stayed.
But I've had no sleep. I'm like having to zero sleep, which means tonight's going to be mad because I got a bunch of beer. And like,
yeah, when you're beer tired, and you get zero sleep, mate. Yeah, you're going to be howling. Especially because it's a tripler.
Yeah, yes. And I'm doing the third episode, so and it's a quiz. So that's going to be.
Oh,
like,
yeah, I was going to say we've timed this completely wrong, haven't we?
Well, yeah. Do you know when Gavin and Stacey and Smithy's doing the pub quiz around? He goes, right, I know the answer is Gary Lineker.
I got one. Yeah.
It sounds like a wine in a bit of Welsh water, like. Who am I? A wine in dude? Anyway.
Very good, very good.
What's new? Give us corn crowbar in an anecdote.
Crowbar in. Let me haphazardly insert an anecdote now. This was pre-written to reveal behind the curtain to the audience. But the other day, I had a mop chop, I had a haircut, and a memory came flooding back to me from a few years back. And I'm pretty sure I've told you this before, but bear with me just for the audience's sake.
It's a bear with you.
No, sorry. God. No, have some sleep, mate. Have a kip, yeah.
Go have a sleep.
When
I used to live with a bunch of mates, and because I'm quite hyperactive, and when I'm really tired, I'm really annoying. I just go like, I'm so tired. I start like slapping at people and annoying and antagonizing just to try and like perk myself up.
Slapping at people.
Well, you know, like pouring at them and just annoying them and like knocking over things. And Fletcher, my old Brummy housemate, said, you're tired now. Go have a sleep. Just go have a sleep. You can tell you're tired. Just go upstairs and have half an hour.
Just put you down for bed now.
And he's all right. I can tell you're tired. Off you go.
You're like a little whining baby.
He's
overtired now. He's overtired, if anything, now. That's what he's acting up.
It's all you're acting up by. Just get to bed. All right. See you later. Sorry, go on.
No, it's all good. I was in the barbers. And it reminded me of when I first moved here to Danes Court. I used to go to the barbers up when I was in Craigar in this place called Talbot Green. And you know when you get used to the barbers, especially when you got like... hair that is so like adamant to be shit like mine, you need like someone when you find a barber that can do it well, you kind of stick to him.
But it's like
a good 20 minute drive from where I am now, and I was like, I'm not doing the 20 minute drive there and back, blah blah blah. So I was like, I need to find a new barber's. I was desperate for a haircut, so I just went, right, where's the nearest one? It was a place called Bully's Barbers, right? And it was in Fairwater, which is kind of renowned to be a little bit rough. But I thought, I'm not going to judge. All right, I'm just going to go there, see how they do. If, you know, if it goes bad, it goes bad. I won't go back. But I went there, and it did look a bit rough, to be fair. And they were proper like Cardiff, you know.
Cardiff.
So when I was I went in, they absolutely eased any doubts I had. When they went, "Do you want a drink, mate?" And I was like, oh, thinking they went like, I meant that they meant like coffee or tea.
Yeah.
And I jokingly said like, only if it's a beer, ha ha ha, in my best Cardiff accent, to try and fit in, of course. And they went, oh, yeah, yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, we got Stella, we got this, we got... And I was like, oh, these guys, they're my friends straight away. I was like, fine.
So that's quite a thing now, mate, though. Like, most barbers will give you a beer.
It's like, yeah, it's... proper barbers. Yeah, I've noticed that. But I sat down and it was, and I was just waiting my turn because I was walking. And there was this kid who was getting his haircut in, before me. He must have been about 12, maybe, 12, 13. And he was sat there and the guy was asking him questions and stuff. And he was like, oh, do you play games there, mate? Do you play FIFA and that? And he went, and he was, bless him, he was like, no, I'm playing the new God of War Ragnarok. And that had just come out or whatever.
Yeah.
And I also like God of War Ragnarok and I'm not a FIFA boy, right? But this guy who went, the barber was like, what's that? What's God of War Ragnarok? You know, this guy thinks that a fucking PlayStation 5 is only for playing FIFA fucking the latest FIFA and COD, right? And then he turned to me and he was like, you heard about this? This bloody God of War Ragnarok? I don't know why I've changed his accent all of a sudden. But I looked at this kid and I was thinking, you know, a few years back, that was me playing fucking non-FIFA games and all that. So on. And I thought, and you know what? I was like, I'm sorry, mate. You're going to learn a lesson that I'm throwing you under the fucking bus. And I was like, what's that? What's fucking, you know, doing my Cardiff accent again. What's fucking, God of War, what's that? And then I was like, oh, no, you should be. And I was, and thank God that you boys played FIFA in uni around me. So I knew it was. Otherwise, I'd be like, the old Pro Evo soccer, is it?
Well, I got to say, you're a rat. You're an absolute
I am a rat. And like this poor kid was just getting, I was joining in, dogpiling in this poor fucker.
virgin.
Yeah. I was in my Stella thinking I was Billy Big Bollocks. It wasn't too long ago. I would have been the kid in the chair. But yeah, I just, it reminded me of that.
Well,
when I was in the
you've lost my
I thought,
respect.
Well, I didn't go back to Bully's Barbers. I couldn't bear to, the mirror there showed a very different version of myself than anywhere else. So didn't like to face it.
We were only saying the other day we should embrace who we are. Embrace being weird nerds, and it's fine. But also, it is quite hard not to dogpile.
Well, we're two barbers from Fairside. Riverside. Fairside, Jesus. What did I even say
Fairwater.
Before? Fairwater, Christ. Yeah. I was mixing up Riverside then and Fairwater. Yeah. But yeah, two barbers from Fairwater looking at me. Looking at me going, is he going to go? Because I could have even the odds. It could have been 2v2. But he was going to leave. You know, he's going to have his haircut and then leave. And then they'd both be on me.
Well, my barber's allege. Mostly it's M does my hair, but my barber's right near me called the Barberhood, and like he does loads of people's hair, like Cardiff City players, like proper cool people's hair. And after everyone's hair he cuts, he takes a photo and puts on his Instagram, and he's never once taken my
I can imagine you going to take my pictures today, mate. Oh, yeah.
You got my blusher on. But he's so sad. I got him on Xbox, and like he plays a lot of COD and things. And he's just such a nice guy. But it is funny. Mm. Everyone else in there is so cool, and all has like their hair properly styled. I'm there. Talk back in silence, please. he's an absolute ledge. I get it. There's a bit of a, the barber shop is a bit of a vibe, isn't it? It's like, it's quite male bravado sometimes. And what I love about with my one, there is none of that. He's like, he's really, everyone else in the shop is painfully cool or a bit like a Aggie or a bit like, you know, there's a bit of an edge, but he's just like,
macho a bit. Like,
he's just really sound.
Well, that's what I got from this this Bully's Barbers. No offense to anyone who goes there. If you live around Fairwater, they did me a perfectly fine cut. I just couldn't face, you know, the pain of what I did to that poor child, so I never went back. But there was what was I going to say then? You were mentioning like male bravado. Oh, that's it. Yeah, being like this quite a cool sort of element, a macho element to it. I always do feel that sting of like them just rolling their eyes at me whenever they go like, oh, do you want some product in your ear, boss, yeah, or something like that? And I go, it's all right, I'm going to have a shower when I go home anyway.
I say that every time.
And they just, I sometimes they don't even do it, but I know inside they're going like, oh, fucking pussy.
Yeah. I always go, do you want me to style it? It's like, oh, it's okay, I'll have a quick shower.
It's all right, I'm going for a walk. Did I get home?
Sometimes I lie and say I'm going to the gym, so they think I'm going to be cool at a gym.
He's in. Well, you just spouting earlier. Just be yourself, isn't it? Just be yourself. Be proud of it.
Judge me for what I say, not what I do. Yeah. I do. Yeah, it's funny that you just the barber does do. Like, I used to go to a barber's up in when I lived near the hospital in the Heath, and that was like one of the first times, like. It was at the same time burgers became cool. Do you know, like, all of a sudden burgers and dirty fries were all the rage?
Yeah, like smash barbers, burgers. And yeah. Like some, you know, not just your standard cheeseburger.
Yeah, so it was about 10 years ago. It was the first time, like, beers became a big thing at the barbers. But it's the most pointless beer because you can't drink because you're getting your hair cut. So it's like...
Yeah, you do feel good doing it. I felt cool doing it. And then it's like, yeah, you finish it and you finish your haircut and then you're like, oh, that's kind of pointless. But it is free.
Well, usually,
I've never had to pay for it.
Well, I know it's free, but I get the bottle, but then my hands are under that little 90 they put you under. So you can't really get your hand out to have a pint.
Oh, yeah. One time they put it on the desk in front of you and I had to kept like, skirting my hand under the 90 out, grabbing it, taking a swig and putting it back. And like the invisible drinker.
Oh, mate, we have to crack on. It's 20 minutes in.
Yeah, Christ. Okay. Right, what are we talking about today? Well, you've probably read the title. Today we're talking about the very serious subject, not that you'd have guessed from that intro, of Newport Rising. And yeah, so I'm going to be harping on about that today. And the Newport Rising was the last large-scale armed uprising in Wales, which occurred on the 4th of November, 1839.
Oh, and dare I say, my birthday?
Oh, go on. Ooh, I didn't even make that connection.
Well, fuck well, you. Well,
a child of revolt. I like it.
Yeah. Is that, should I say my dirty birth year? Yeah, that's fine, isn't it?
They won't dox you during the year, do they?
Yeah, everyone hears right. Sound. No one dox me, all right?
No one do it. And if anyone does, we know it's one of you lot. So on that day in November 1839, around 10,000 Chartists marched on the town of Newport to fight for a fairer voting rights in the UK. Excuse me.
Dare I ask what a Chartist is?
Guess what the start of my next note is, mate. So what is a Chartist, I hear you ask?
Zip my little mouth. Let me just close the door because I don't want to force Em to listen to all this madness. You keep going.
So, Chartism was a movement mainly associated with the working class. It strived for political reform in the UK, essentially. At the time the movement began to grow, only men 21 years or older who were landowners and who earned over a certain amount a year could vote. This essentially meant that only the middle class could affect the way the country was run, despite these working class boys being the ones who actually kept the country running, because they were all in industries that, you know, essentially drove the country. The movement took its name from the People's Charter of 1838, which was presented to the House of Commons and swiftly rejected. Strongholds of the movement existed in Northern England, the East Midlands, Staffordshire, the Black Country, and South Wales Valleys. These movements were often tied to people who relied on a single industry. So in Wales, obviously, that would be coal. But in all these different like sort of strongholds, it was because these men essentially would be working in an industry that would, because it was singular, it was subject to a lot of change. You know, if some sort of tariffs went up or something like that meant there was less money in it. So it wasn't like being in a, I'm fucking this up now, but like, because everything was focused on one sort of industry.
Yeah, it's like if we move away from oil now, Russia.
Yeah, exactly. We find a new source of oil or something, you know, oil prices go down, that affects your pay and everything. Yeah. Yeah, that's why.
So it could be quite a volatile market for people like that.
That's right. That, you know, you summed it up in like three words in what I've just flubbered out of my mouth there. So yeah, a volatile market. So in summary, if you were a Chartist, you were very likely a working class person that worked like a dog for not much pay in an essential industry, and you weren't allowed a say in how the country was run, and you weren't very happy about it. So to give you a flavour of what was happening in the lead up to Newport Rising, in 1836, that was said to be the first instance of Chartists in Wales, when a guy named Hugh Williams, who was a solicitor and a radical reformer, he set up a meeting in Carmarthen Working Men's Club. So that was the first time sort of Chartists were talked about in Wales. Things ramped up, not just in Wales, but across the UK, when Parliament rejected the People's Charter in 1838, as I mentioned earlier. This charter was a petition that the Chartists put together, and it called to allow any man aged 21 years and above that were of sound mind and not undergoing a prison sentence to be allowed a vote. It also called for salaries for MPs, the right to a secret ballot, and the right to vote for those who did not own property. So basically doing away with all these kind of barriers.
And the reason for a secret ballot was so people wouldn't be forced or strong-armed by other politics. Like if you had the chief whip,
exactly say, right, yeah. Because you if people knew who you were voting for, you could be pressured one way or another. Yeah. It's also worth mentioning at the time that members of parliament weren't actually paid at this point in time, and it was assumed that these members of parliament would have their own means.
Yeah, so they'd be wealthy.
So basically, only wealthy people could run for parliament because they weren't getting a wage from it. So the reason they wanted salaries for MPs.
If you do bloody hell, am I right? They call it progress.
And that's why they wanted to create a salary for parliament members, because then the common person could run and know that they were getting paid to do the job afterwards if they won. So the charter was dismissed by the House, as I said, and then on the 12th of July, 1839, a well-known Chartist called Henry Vincent was convicted of unlawful assembly and conspiracy for protesting against these, the rejection of the petition. This caused a big uproar in the Chartist movement. So Henry being arrested sparked a fair bit of anger, as I said, from the Chartists. And although they had been planning some kind of march, this really put some fire in their bellies, especially over that specific weekend. So this led John Frost, often talked about as being the kind of leader of the Chartists in Wales, and his associates, to lead a three-pronged march towards Newport, joined by miners who had armed themselves with homemade pikes, bludgeons, and even firearms. I thought that was pretty fucking gnarly. Like, pikes and bludgeons, fair enough. That's probably easy to get hold of, but also bringing guns to the whole thing is a bit mad. So the three-pronged assault, one group was led by Frost, and he was coming to Newport from the west. Another guy called Zephaniser Williams.
Why exactly Newport? Why were they being drawn to Newport?
Well, during the gathering of these Chartists, like I said, because they'd already planned, they'd had some sort of march planned already before that Henry guy had been arrested.
Yeah.
And before this, quite a few people had been arrested as being involved in the Chartist movement, as almost like a conspiracy to cause a ruckus type thing. Yeah. That's not the official the reason they were arrested, by the way. Ruckus. Exactly. So they marched on Newport because that's where a lot of the prisoners were being held. So, as I mentioned, they did like a three-pronged march. One group was led by Frost towards Newport from the west. Another guy called Zephaniser Williams led another group from Blackwood, which was coming from the northwest. And William Jones led another gang from Pontypool, which was coming from the north. So, surprise, surprise, it was Wales. So, it was pissing it down, which delayed all three groups. The original plan was to meet up in a pub called the Welsh Oak in Rogerstone. Imagine, that's amazing. Like a huge, trying to overthrow like the way the workforce works. You go, should we meet the Oak? Yeah, down the Oak for five? So,
all right, catch you down the Oak then, or what?
That's your own joke, man, bruv. But the plan was to meet down this Welsh Oak pub in Rogerstone and then sort of together march into Newport. But because of all the delays, because of the weather, the group from Pontypool, which was led by that William Jones, that didn't arrive until very early in the Sunday morning. So it delayed things quite a bit. But as soon as they arrived, they set off from the pub. And I also reckon that was probably a highly charged piss up that night. And they're going, William Jones isn't going to be here for a while. Should we have a pint, should we? And then like all through the night, he's getting absolutely hammered.
Yeah. I'm not going to start a fight, but if I fucking see someone there, I'm going to
fucking get down there. I'm going to fucking smack him out.
Yeah,
but, But so because they left early Sunday morning, like I said, I imagine there was a fair few of them there must have had a skim full. But either way, they marched down from the valleys, and on their way down, they were joined by more and more sympathisers as they passed different villages and towns.
That's class.
Including in one of them, one town, it was a whole chapel congregation decided to march with them.
God's on their side.
Even more. Exactly. So that swelled their ranks even more. And all of Sunday, as they were marching down, was spent in like horrendous rainy weather on their way down to Newport. A lot of people who were initially very up for it, they lost a bit of momentum, as you can imagine. Mm. And what they did is when they sort of got into the outskirts of Newport, a lot of people kind of splintered off.
Oh, yeah.
Because like they kind of lost the oomph, I guess, because they were fucking soaking wet, awful weather. They've been trudging through them. You know, it's not like they had roads like we did now.
Yeah.
They'd be trudging through fucking muck and all that. So a lot of people lost a bit of enthusiasm. But anyway, the local authorities in Newport had actually caught wind of this angry working class making their way down. And the mayor of Newport at the time, a guy named Thomas Phillips, he swore in 500 additional special constables, along with 32 soldiers from the 45th Regiment of Foot, to bolster the 60 soldiers that were already stationed at the city of Newport. Or rather, it was a town back then, but still. Once the Chartists did arrive in Newport, they were made aware that these members of the movement that had been arrested over the previous weeks and months, that they were being held in the Westgate Hotel, which was situated in the centre of the city, along with police and army troops. So an estimated 10,000 people, a big chunk of whom were armed, marched down Stow Hill until they got to the square in front of the hotel around 9:30 in the morning. I do have to caveat that some sources say it was 10,000 people. Others say that the whole march was 10,000 people. And by the time that people had like sort of splintered off and like they'd whittled down from the rain, it was more like 4,000 that actually marched on the square. But 10,000, didn't that sound like cool as fuck, 10,000 people?
Yeah.
But even 4,000 people, that's a hell of a lot of people. You know,
and if there's only, like 500 plus soldiers, whatever.
Like I said, 500 additional constables, and not all of them would have been in the Westgate anyway. They were just situated around town, so not all of them would have been there, and maybe 32 soldiers plus the 60 more. You know, it's you're vastly outnumbered either way. So the Chartists, they all surrounded the hotel. They demanded the release of the arrested associates, and to this day, it's still not ironclad who started it, but at this point, shots were fired and a brief but bloody battle ensued. So the soldiers defending the hotel, they were vastly outnumbered, as I mentioned, but they had a hell of a lot more firepower.
And they were garrisoned, so it's easy to defend.
They were garrisoned. They were defending a closed-off building kind of thing. And the Westgate Hotel is... So yeah, and they're trained for this sort of thing, The Chartists did manage to get into the hotel, apparently, briefly, but they were very, very swiftly pushed back and forced to retreat. So the whole skirmish lasted about half an hour, and once the dust had settled, around 22 Chartists were killed and even more than 50 were injured. Of the defenders, they managed to get away with only four injured men, one of which was the mayor, again, that Thomas Phillips. He was shot in the arm and the groin. That's a pretty fucking savage two places to be shot. I did read one source, right? Off. Even if they hadn't shot you in the groin, your arm's knackered. But I did read one source that apparently one soldier died from six shots to the head, which sounds fucking gnarly as hell. But I couldn't find that corroborated anywhere else. I only found that on one source. So take that with a massive pinch of salt. I imagine that's just a bit of poetic license.
And I love salt.
You do love a bit of salt, more than a pinch. Once this battle was done, the Chartists fled. A lot of them dropped their weapons on the way out, which apparently were collected and you can still see today at the Newport Museum. And sources differ on who started the shooting. As I said, it's still not ironclad today who actually started it all. One Chartist called R.G. Gamage, who was very anti-violent, he thought the first shots came from the Chartists, his own side. Another source, Thomas Bevan Oliver, who was one of the special constables sworn in, he claimed that he accidentally bumped the door of the hotel against a Chartist gun while he was trying to hold them back, and that caused the firearm to accidentally discharge, shooting into the air. this spooked both sides, caused them both to fire at each other. That was his testimony anyway. Again, none of this confirmed. In the aftermath of all this, around 200 Chartists were arrested. 21 of those were charged with high treason. All three main leaders, John Frost, Zephaniah Williams, and William Jones, were three of those 21, and they were sentenced to be hung, drawn, and quartered. And they were the last people in England and Wales to be given such a sentence. Sounds awfully brutal, doesn't it, for 1800s? I think we'd like, sort of gone past that kind of violence.
Intense.
Yeah.
So all three of them were?
They were the last people in England and Wales to be sentenced with that.
Yeah.
But thankfully, this sparked a nationwide campaign to reduce their sentence. And even at the time, the Lord Chief Justice, who is basically the head of the courts in England and Wales, he personally lobbied the Home Secretary as part of this campaign. And it was thankfully successful. The government eventually backtracked and they commuted their sentences to transportation for life, which basically meant when they'd ship you off to like Australia or one of the colonies. So you weren't allowed in the UK, basically. You got shipped off to one of these prison colonies, penal colonies even. And also a little tidbit, William Price, that mad druid who we did an episode on before, he was also semi-involved in Newport Rising. He acquired cannons for the Chartists, which sounds insane.
That's classic.
You go, show some cannons, lads. Yeah, check that in the mix. He managed to avoid any major repercussions, though. So if anyone listening wants to listen more about that, go listen to the William Price
episode. Because
that's a good one anyway. Yeah.
Submitted by I was going to say adorable. It's not adorable. My friend of the show now, Reese. Reese always sends some amazing suggestions. So, and that was his suggestion.
He is adorable. I'd go with your first adjective then. Adorable boy.
He's adorable, he is.
Bloody adorable. So, another famous Chartist called Ben Wilson. He was from Yorkshire. He was sort of doing...
Bloody Ben Wilson, you bastard.
Ben Wilson, you bastards! I'm a Chartist.
Right, tell you what, I'm a Chartist, and I fucking hate this. Like,
right, I woke up last Sunday, and I want the vote. Gets the vote. Gets the
fucking vote. I'll fuck off, and I'll buy him chips for tea. All right, don't bet yourself.
Ben Wilson. Can I just say,
they should have a better name than Chartist, because it sounds like they're like mad into spreadsheets. Like they should have like better fun names.
I think because of especially modern charts, it just sounds like they're fucking. They sound like the boffins who like do all the number crunching in a company, don't they?
I was going to say, as a comparison, so it's not like, how many do you say died on the Chartist side? There's 50 injured and...
22 confirmed dead and so it's a bit 50 like, plus injured.
You know like the insurrection on Capitol Hill when Trump's supporters tried to rush Capitol Hill? There was only like 4 dead there. And there, if you think how many attacked the building and how... like Secret Service were in there. Like there's that one scene with that guy that like he's like an African American security guard on his own against pretty far right, you know, mostly racist supporters. And he's like going upstairs. Have you seen that video of him on his own going upstairs? And he's
the one I've seen is where like it's fucking terrifying. Is, like smacked the window of a door.
Oh yeah, and she gets shot.
Someone around it like has literally no choice but to go, right, fuck off and shoot him.
Yeah. But no, this is a guy on his own coming up and they are like hundreds swarming the stairs and he has to keep going. Yeah. And he draws them away from like, I think it might have been OAC and some of the other senators, other members of the
Alexandra Cortez.
And some others. Like he's dragging them away from Democrats. And he keeps going like, floor one cleared, floor two cleared. And they're like coming closer to him. And he's got his gun and he's like trying to hold them back, but not shooting them. Because if he shoots, then he's dead. But he's also got so many of them. And it's generally so scary. He's going up and up and up. And they keep coming at him. Intense. And then he finally gets his reinforcements. But it does show, if you're defending, it's a lot easier. Like, you know, another one we'll do one day, Zulu. There was like 99 Welsh soldiers or British soldiers against like 10,000 Zulus. And when you've got soldiers with guns and stuff and you're defending... Yeah.
Once you dug in, if you dug in, it makes things a lot easier because it's in the tent pissing out. That's not what the army say. But, you know, it's a little bit easier to do. But this guy, this Ben Wilson, the Yorkshire boy, he wrote actually in one of his memoirs that if the rising in Newport had been successful, that would have essentially been like the go signal for a national
Civil
uprising.
War. Yeah.
And it would have been, yeah, all the working class would have rose up and it would have, you know, really enacted a big change. Sadly, though, after the bloodshed and the fallout from Newport Rising, the Chartist movement sort of devolved into a bit of infighting. They didn't really know sort of how to progress, and there's a lot of tit-for-tat within the movement. This didn't mean that it was the end of the Chartists, though. They did remain active for many years. They campaigned for a while after the initial sentence had been reduced to get Frost, Williams and Jones completely pardoned.
Yeah.
Smaller groups in Sheffield, East London and Bradford, they planned their own, albeit smaller marches that didn't have quite as big an effect. There was one smaller rising consisting of hundreds as opposed to thousands this time that took place in Bradford. But what the reason they did it is that they were hoping that it would have a domino effect on like the other communities next door.
Yeah.
And it would start like a
the ball rolling. Have the power.
Yeah. Exactly. But it kind of fell on deaf ears. Nothing really happened, unfortunately. Newport Rising also changed the views of the middle class at the time. Unfortunately, this was for the worst, because the middle class then were all convinced that any Chartists, or even working class people in general, really, were all violent and dangerous thugs. And the mayor of Newport, that Thomas Phillips, who got shot in the arm and the dick. Yeah, in the cack. He was proclaimed a national hero by the establishment, and he was knighted by Queen Victoria just 6 weeks after the event, praising him for putting to a stop to the rise. And they very much framed it as like, you know, a noble middle-class hero defying a violent mob, as opposed to like the oppressed marching on the oppressors, because they'd have enough. So Frost actually did get pardoned in the end in 1856, so quite a few years after. He was allowed to return to the UK, where he was hailed as a hero when he returned to Newport, although he didn't choose to live there again. He ended up living near Bristol for some reason. Don't know why.
Not for me. Actually, not for me. Working class people around
thanks,
here. I'm
thanks
off.
For the accolade, but you're all scum to me. Yeah, I'm off.
Imagine that. You go to like a penal colony, you go, oh, Newport's a bit rough for me, actually. Yeah, but me and you love
your
Newport.
Life for that cause, and then went, oh, fuck Newport. Yeah, didn't you know about the bloody new food court this year? Christ almighty. Yeah,
we love, and also, like, it's a fun place for boozing, isn't it? It's like, it's got a real edge to it. Like, it's definitely a bit of a rough and ready town, but I love it.
There's that one street in Newport. It's great. It's full of great boozers.
Yeah.
Go down to the Murringer, Le Pub. Yeah. Fucking great stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know why he didn't understand that at the time. What's wrong with him? But he, to be fair to Frost, he continued to advocate for reform until his dying day in 1877 at the age of 93. So he was, even till his dying days, he was sort of trying to enact change.
And when did they get the vote? Do you know?
Well, yes. I'm going to go into that now. So, as I was going to say,
on that point, can I say something smug?
Go on.
Societies grow great, I think that's the saying. Societies grow great when old men plant trees in shade they know they'll never sit in. So
that's the one,
What he's doing. You work for things that don't even pay off for you. So that's what he did.
Precisely. I've got a little tidbit about that later as well. My own little, a final thought, if you like, which obviously I can't naturally progress into. I've got to announce beforehand. Yeah. But yeah, so this doing this research, it got me looking into other reforms and like key dates about voting and sort of when people got rights and stuff like that. So I've got a few quick fire facts for you, right? First one, for example, did you know Wales had no government representation in the UK until 1535?
Yeah, I imagine that makes sense.
They only started allowing Welsh representatives in the House of Lords then. Like, I knew that, obviously, you know, we didn't have much of a say because of all the history and everything, but, like, 1535, I was thinking, fuck, that seems quite late.
It annexed into England, wasn't it? So it was...
We were just considered part of England, weren't we, I suppose. But madness.
It was Henry VIII was in charge then, wasn't it? Because his dad was Welsh, Henry VII, who someone did say we have to cover... Yeah. Under him, and
it was either Henry the Seventh or Henry the Eighth, whichever one it was.
In 35, it was Henry the Eighth.
Henry the Eighth was there.
Yeah.
Well, that's me told.
In 1535, that'd be Henry the Eighth. Yeah.
Yeah. So as I mentioned, that first People's Charter was in 1838 that kicked off the whole Chartist movement. And then they sent a second petition to the government in 1842. This petition had over 1 million signatures. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot in today's standards, you know,
it does, sort of quite thing.
But I mean, 1 million today is even quite impressive. But back then, you know, no social media, no internet, nothing like that. To get 1 million signatures, big time. Completely rejected once again. They tried a third time in 1848.
Well, if you want something discussed now, you need 500,000 signatures for it to be discussed at Parliament.
It's and a million,
and it's so easy to get now compared to getting 1 million back then. So it's, good, well on you, lads.
Yeah, exactly. Good on you. And then the third time they tried, it said in 1848, again rejected. This time there was a lot more uproar about it. And the Chartists were led by a guy called Fergus O'Connor. He had a lot of connections with several radical groups that were absolutely not afraid of like causing violence and sort of property damage and things like that. So the government, being fearful of this, they revived an old law that hadn't been in use since King Charles II was on the throne back in the 1600s. The law stated that no more than 10 people could deliver a petition to the government at a time.
Oh,
so that meant... Exactly, absolute cowards. That meant the Chartists couldn't do like a big march, like a demonstration or a march to hand the petition to, petition to Parliament. The government also had to swear in 100,000 extra men to bolster the police force at the time because of all the unrest that was going on. So the third time they rejected it, the Chartists were not happy. Working class people not happy. It wasn't, though, until 1872, the Ballot Act. Sorry, the Ballot Act came in, and that finally introduced secret ballots. So that was one part of the People's Charter that they were trying to get. And then it wouldn't be until 1884 that they finally semi-fulfilled what the People's Charter was asking for when they gave the majority of men in the country over 21 years old the vote. There were still some stipulations, like about land and stuff like that, but the majority of men in the UK after 1884 could vote. Then it was 1918 when they gave the vote to every single man over 21 and most women over 30. The women over 30 who qualified still had property requirements similar to what the men had during the Chartist movement. So these women had to have owned a certain amount of property and things like that. So it was kind of like the same thing for them, what the men had, you know, sort of 30 years prior. Then it was only 1928, the Representation of the People Act then lowered the voting age for women to 21 and removed the property requirements completely.
Crazy. Followed by, like, not even 100 years ago.
It is mad. But listen to this. It followed by an update to the same act in 1969 that lowered the voting age to 18 for men and women. I didn't know that it was that recent.
Well, in Wales, you can vote for the Senedd when you're 16.
Yeah, now you can. Yeah, yeah.
And if Labour come in, they're going to lower the voting age to 16, which makes sense. If you're working age, you should be given the right to vote. It's crazy that they're saying like you're not allowed to.
I saw some absolute knobhead on Good Morning Britain the other day that was going, "Oh, where does it stop? Should we let 12-year-olds vote? Should we let 11-year-olds vote?" And no. I was like, do you know when you're just like, they're being deliberately like fucking obtuse? Yeah, and it's like,
if you're old enough to be legally allowed to have sex, if you're old enough to legally allowed to have a job, legally allowed to get married, I think you should be allowed to vote. And it affects them. You know, if you're going to have things like conscription come in, they should be allowed to have a say on if that's what they want. Fucking
dumb. Yeah, because if they're coming into that, exactly, you know, it's stupid.
We need to wrap this up. I'm dying for a piss, mate.
That's fair. So I was going to say my final thought for today's episode was similar to what you said earlier. Thank God there are people with the absolute cojones big enough to do this shit, because like I know me and you can be passionate about things, and you know we both have our things that we really believe in, and I know we would march for and do these things.
Well,
for,
you
and
say that.
I would definitely be, well, I would march with these Chartists, but I would know for a fact that I would never be one of the people to start it, because I just don't have, I don't think I have the minerals.
And I think I'm a bit of a scrapper, so I wouldn't mind getting into a scrap, but I've been going through a real, like, conscious battle recently that I'm not doing enough for whatever your viewpoint is on Palestine and Israel. What's going on now is just completely disgusting and abhorrent.
Oh, it's abhorrent.
And I just don't feel, like, I give money to charity and stuff, but I don't know if that reaches the right people. And I just don't feel, and I don't do anything on social media because I don't really think that's
always, I think unless you do something in the real world, activism on social media is pretty pointless. But I haven't gone on a single march. I've not done anything like that. And I've signed some petitions online.
I
feel like in 50 years' time, if like we had grandkids, they say, oh, what did you do to stop that genocide? I'd be like, I did fuck
and
all.
And you go, not merch.
Yeah, and I just think the guilt and shame I feel for it. Yeah, so I think, I was debating it. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to start doing more money towards it, but maybe we could do like a podcast fundraiser or something. Let's have a think about it.
Something, yeah. Something we can do to help in a little way. But yeah. I mean, people like this, the people like this, Frost and everything, these are the people that fucking, like you said, they plant those
the
trees
world.
That give shade to the future generations. And, you know, that you know, me and you moan about a fucking 5-day work week, thankfully, instead of a 7-day one. An 8-hour shift instead of a mandatory 12.
Are you saying?
Because people like this actually had the bollocks.
We're starting the 2-day work week. And it won't, we're obviously
doing it.
Mean. No, so we'll start the petition for a 2-day work week and we'll be long dead and hung by the time it comes round. But they'll do a podcast about us in 70 years saying, if it wasn't for those two scoundrels.
If I can't experience it, I won't bother, mate.
Yes, I'm sure. please, I'm desperate for a piss. Please, can I
go? All right, I'll let you go.
We didn't even plug the podcast. We'll do that next episode. No, not the podcast.
Oh, we didn't do any shout outs or anything.
No,
right,
we didn't.
We'll do it
the
next
one.
Right?
Yeah, sorry.
This one, so, yeah, you're fine.
Yeah,
sorry.
Love you,
mate.
Okay.
Cool.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Y'all are nicest looking woman. I'm sorry, my max. Especially with your makeup when you're wearing your glad rags. I gotta tell you, I gotta let you know. I wanna buy you chips down a Mecca Bingo. We'll sit together, get 4 in a row. I'm with a China dog, I'm with it to our family show. This is romance, how it should be done. When it's you and me together, it can only we walk together, buy some meat in the market. I put on the can as you smile and pack it. I gotta tell you about something I think. Without you in my chain, I'm the weakest link. So get down, baby, and feel my love. I'll get you drunk and wear the spoons into a bush I shove. I'll have a grow and get a last burst. A romantic date, just the two of us.
Yeah, one time.